Good morning, 1220 listeners. This is Caroline from the City Mission, and you're listening to Faith in Crisis, serving your neighbors in need. The City Mission is running this half-hour program once a week through the rest of 2017, and we'll be sharing about several urgent issues and opportunities the church has to engage their neighbors in need around the greater Cleveland area. This week, we'll be discussing the women and children's homelessness crisis with Rich Trickle, CEO of the City Mission. Some of you may already be familiar with this topic from what you've seen online or in the news, but we're going to take a closer look with the people on the front lines. Now, Rich, can you tell me who the City Mission is and why they are qualified to talk about this issue of the women and children's homelessness crisis here in Cleveland?
Well, Caroline, the City Mission is a faith-based crisis center that has been working in Cleveland now for almost 107 years. And for the course of that time, we have engaged very specifically with men, women, and children in our city that are suffering in deep crisis. And over the years, that has manifested itself in a variety of ways. But right now, our primary focus is caring for men, women, and children that are homeless. And connected to their homelessness is a variety of underlying causes and symptoms that impact them in some very significant ways. So we have two primary facilities, Laura's Home for Women and Children. Both moms and their children and single women are at Laura's Home. That facility has 55 rooms and 166 beds. And I think as many of the listeners probably know, Laura's Home is full and has been full for years. And then we have Crossroads, our facility for men, and we have about 100 beds in that building. So we have both our buildings are full. We do two primary things there. We have folks that are there for short-term emergency shelter. We provide food, we provide clothing, we provide overnight shelter for them. But the more significant thing is the long-term programming that we provide. So in both cases, for men and women, average stay would be somewhere between 9 and 12 months. We engage them on a number of levels. We have a mental health department and licensed therapists that are able to draw alongside of our folks and talk with them, work with them, help to understand some of the barriers that have impacted them, and then most importantly, help them identify and learn tools to overcome those barriers. And then going on from there, we have a variety of different types of classes and things that we draw alongside of them to help equip them for two primary things. Number one, first and foremost, is employment. And then secondly is long-term independent housing. So we've been doing this for a long time. We see some wonderful, wonderful transformations in the lives of people, and we're just grateful to be here.
And I'm sure many of the listeners out there are familiar with or even have been involved with the work of the mission, so thank you to all of those people. Now let's really dive into the more specific topic. What is the women and children's housing crisis, and what does it really look like here in Cleveland?
Well, our primary concern right now is homeless families, and it's important that the listeners understand when I use the word family, and I'll be using it as I continue speaking. What I am talking about is a mother and children. I'm not talking about a husband, a wife, or a man, woman, and children. It's a mom and children. So the primary thing that we're concerned about now is the large number of women and children that are homeless in our city and the very, very limited resources that currently exist in our city to take care of them. So at the City Mission, as an example, at Laura's Home, I've already mentioned that that building is full and has been full for years. But the other thing and the other piece of this that most people might not see is that on a daily basis, we receive countless numbers of phone calls coming from mothers with their children and also single women that are calling Laura's Home and want to come in. They need shelter. They need a stable, safe place to go. And so they call. And I'm talking about sometimes, 30, 40, 50 phone calls a day, representing anywhere from 50, 60, 70, 80, sometimes 100 women and children, those calls represent that number, that are looking for shelter at Laura's home. The very, very sad thing is that often our response is, I'm sorry we're full, call back. You've got to call back. And they do, day after day after day after day, waiting for a bed to open up. So that's one problem. The other problem is that currently in our city, in the city of Cleveland, there are very, very few beds and opportunities available to provide shelter for homeless families. In fact, there really, apart from Laura's home, there really are only two others, Westside Catholic Center that has 35 beds, and the Salvation Army that has 35 rooms for families. That's really it. Family Promise is able to handle maybe six families. So there's very few. So what's been going on, it's been going on for quite some time, is a large number of moms appear at Central Intake, which is the gateway to those two facilities, saying, you know, we're homeless, we have nowhere to go, we need shelter, we need help. Central Intake looks at those facilities and they come up with the same conclusion every day. They're full. We don't have anywhere for you to go right now. And the city, and I should be saying the county, Cuyahoga County, because they are the responsible entity that manages everything that happens with homelessness in the city of Cleveland. Not only are those facilities full, but they have no overflow facility. They have nowhere for those women to go. So there is nowhere for them to go. When the City Mission heard about this over a year ago, we said, well, what we would be able to do is open our gym and provide an emergency overflow for them. So we've been doing that, and I'll talk more about that in a little while. But the point is that we have an exceedingly large number of homeless families in this city, and we have very few resources available. Now, there's one other indicator here that also is critical and I think often overlooked, and it's our school system, the Cleveland Metropolitan School District. They do an outstanding job of identifying within the district how many of the children in the district are homeless. And when they do identify those kids, they then are able to make certain, they follow up with those children and they make certain that they have everything that they need, the supplies that they need and so on. But this is a situation with our schools. They know how many are homeless, how many reveal that they're homeless, and they also know where those children are. So they know that there's so many X number of them that are currently residing in a shelter, but they also know, and this is the lion's share of all of those kids, they know how many are doubled up. And what that means is that those families, moms and kids, they have no certain place of their own. They are nowhere for certain. They are couch surfing. Maybe they're with a sister, maybe they're with a grandma, maybe they're with a friend. Who knows? They're somewhere from place to place to place to place. Now, last year, Cleveland Metropolitan School District identified 2,600 homeless children in the district. 1,800 of those kids were doubled up. So if you just do a little bit of math, we know that an average family has about two and a half children per family, right? So if you use two as a number and you do some pretty simple math, you can easily understand that there are anywhere from 800, 900 homeless families in our city that we really don't know much about at all. We just know they're out there. And we know that being out there and kind of floating around from empty couch to floor to empty couch, that at any given time, they're going to be exited, you know, when they get their host is tired of them in their home, they're on the streets, and they're showing back up again for shelter, and we just don't have accommodations to care for them.
It truly is unimaginable and tragic that this is the day-to-day reality for so many families, especially when it seems like there's resources and jobs available. What might be the reason a woman is in this situation?
Yeah, you know, the situation with affordable housing, not only in Cleveland, but in our country, is just unbelievably difficult right now. For the very first time, this statistic was revealed probably 6 months ago or so. For the very first time, we've been able to identify this, that it is now impossible for a minimum wage earner to afford a basic two-bedroom apartment in any of our cities throughout our country. And certainly that's true in Cleveland. So if I'm remembering things correctly, I think the current stat is this: to afford a basic apartment in Cleveland right now, you have to earn about $14.50 an hour, somewhere in that range. So if you're not earning that much money per hour, there's no way that you're going to be able to afford an apartment. Or what it's going to mean is that instead of working a standard 40-hour week, you maybe have to work 60 or 70 or 80 hours a week to afford that. Now, that puts a variety of women, a large number of women, in an unbelievably impossible circumstance. So what we know, and at the City Mission, because we work with homeless, formerly homeless women at Laura's Home, you know, we have prepared and equipped and have helped to find employment for, you know, over the course of these years, hundreds of women. And what we understand is this: when they get a job and they're able to find employment, they're eager to find employment, and they do find employment. But the average wage that they're earning is somewhere between $10 and $12 an hour. Now, right away, they're behind a massive eight ball. So if they move into the job market and they're earning $10 to $12 an hour, they cannot rent an apartment. It's impossible to rent an apartment. They're going to need some help. Now, in addition to that, most of the women that we're working with at Laura's Home, not only are they not earning enough to rent an apartment, but they have families, they have children, they have little children, they have preschool children, they need daycare. Well, they can't even afford an apartment. How are they going to afford daycare? In addition to that, they don't have driver's licenses, so they need transportation. Typically, that's a bus, which requires bus passes. They can't afford that. So, I mean, this impossible circumstance just continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's an unbelievably complex situation that is very, very difficult to unravel. Now, there are some resources available through the government. Rapid Rehousing and Rapid Rehousing vouchers is a resource that helps many families. As they pass through central intake and work within the system, many will qualify for 4 months of vouchers. But did you hear what I said? 4 months of vouchers, okay? So when month five comes along and they have not been able to generate enough income to pay the rent, what are they going to do then? So this is a very, very difficult problem.
Sure, I imagine there are a lot of complications and nuances depending on the person, depending on the family and the relationships available to them. Earlier, you were talking about how there are several missions, several faith-based nonprofits, government organizations that are doing their best to serve this population of women and children experiencing homelessness that really have nowhere to go. How are we specifically seeing the work of the City Mission impacted by this crisis?
Well, one of the things that I love about the City Mission is we are, as an organization, we are able to be responsive, and we are able to adapt quickly to meet the current presenting need. And so, like I mentioned, right now our primary concern is homeless women and children. And so, you know, we have been able to respond very quickly to that need. We identified a crisis in our city. We were able to open up part of our facility to provide emergency overflow shelter. We heard about it one day, and the next day we were open and running. That's pretty incredible. Not only that, but because of the incredible size of our database and the thousands, I should say tens of thousands of donors that we have, and the incredible reach through social media, we are able quickly to muster a very large group of volunteers, and we've been able to do that. So we now are providing emergency overflow in our gymnasium for these women and children that don't have anywhere else to go. But what we discovered is the county doesn't engage with them at all while they're in that circumstance. They have no resources, absolutely nothing. They did not have regular meals. They didn't have the necessary supplies to keep themselves and their children clean and healthy. They just were missing all kinds of things. What we were able to do is alert our network to that, and now we have scores of people that are sending hygiene supplies, that are bringing meals, that are providing volunteers and engaging with those women. So we have transformed completely the way that we are reacting and responding to a crisis in a very, very, very quick period of time. I don't know of any other agency in town that can do that, not like the City Mission. So I'm so thankful for that, and it is unbelievably gratifying to see what I always knew was true. The city of Cleveland is an incredibly philanthropic city, and we are seeing people stand up by the dozens and stepping forward to meet this very critical need.
And I'm assuming a large part of that support comes from the faith community, with the City Mission being a faith-based organization. Why is it important for the faith community to care about these women and children? Why is it so important that the faith community is especially involved in being a part of this solution?
And that's our primary focus. That's exactly right. And in fact, last May, we hosted a forum on family homelessness in Cleveland, and our targeted audience was the Cleveland faith community. And we invited the entire faith community to come and participate in that forum. Many did. From that forum, then, we launched a task force. That task force has been meeting every month. We've got, I think on my email list, I have almost 60 names of individuals that want to be active in that task force. I would also invite anyone that's listening to this broadcast, if you're interested, you are more than welcome. All you have to do is contact the City Mission, and we will connect you with that. But yeah, we have a broad group of men and women from the faith community that are coming together on a regular basis and are working together to take this information about homeless women and children in our city, take it back to their faith centers, their churches, their synagogues, wherever it might be, enlist their congregation in standing up, partnering with us to meet this very, very critical need. It's wonderful to see this.
As I mentioned earlier, as you drive around town, it seems like there are a lot of resources out there for people in need. Why is it important that there are faith-based people and organizations involved in this movement to change the face of homelessness?
Yeah, boy, you know, for almost 107 years, the City Mission has been driven by really one primary purpose, and that's to communicate the gospel of grace to men, women, and children. And our primary focus is those living in crisis among us. You know, from a biblical perspective, I can only see two primary mandates that have been given to God's people. I've already mentioned one, to proclaim the gospel of grace. The second one is to care for the poor and needy. That's it. So those are the two things that we're to do. The simplest thing and the easiest thing to do is to care for the poor and needy among us, the widows, the foreigner, the stranger, the orphan, those that are suffering among us. It is our responsibility as the people of God to take care of those individuals, not to just be a provider of things, but actually to draw alongside of them and to minister to them, to care for them, and to help them get back on their feet and to move forward. So that's what motivates the City Mission. That's what has motivated the City Mission for over 100 years. And that's why we're driven to do what we do. You know, and it's an incredibly wonderful thing to do, because what we're finding out, especially with these women and their children that we're caring for in overflow, that really everyone else has kind of squeezed their eyes tight shut to, is they are unbelievably grateful that somebody is stepping up and caring for them and helping them take the next step, because that's what they want to do. They want to take the next step. You know, how do we go forward from here? So we're motivated by our by our commitment to fulfilling the will of God. And what is encouraging to me, as I mix with the broader faith community, I see that same passion and that same motivation. It drives all of us. You know, if you look out at the city of Cleveland, we are an incredibly philanthropic city, and we are a city that is absolutely filled with nonprofit organizations. But if you just take the space that I'm talking about, homelessness, and you look at all of the primary providers in our city, most of them are faith-based organizations. They're all faith-based organizations, and they are driven by their commitment to serving God. And I love that, and it certainly inspires their service, and you can see it in their compassionate response and the way they care for people.
Rich, in a way you just covered this, but can you remark on what would happen if there was no city mission? If the faith community stopped fulfilling their mandate to serve the poor, what would Cleveland look like?
Well, you know, it would be tragic, and I'm going to just expand this just a bit, because what we now know, thanks to a study that was hosted by Baylor University probably now about 9 months ago, where they chose 11 major cities throughout the country, and they went to those cities and they looked at what's happening in the area of homelessness, who are the primary providers, and how many of all the beds that are available in those cities, how many are faith-based beds. And what they found out is in almost every case, the majority of beds, and I'm using beds just as the simplest, most material way to communicate what's going on, are provided by faith-based agencies. So if the faith-based community did not step forward, if faith-based organizations were not doing what they were doing, we would be in an unbelievable, tragic circumstance in this country, certainly in the city of Cleveland. Because if you add up all the beds that are available right now, everything that's being done, caring for homeless men, women, and children, almost every primary provider is a faith-based provider. Not only that, but all of those organizations, and I'll speak clearly about the city mission, the only reason the city mission can do what we are doing the way that we are doing it is because we are fueled by hundreds of volunteers. And in almost every case, those volunteers are flowing out of churches throughout this entire community. So if you stop that flow, if the faith-based community just wakes up one morning and says, enough is enough, you know, I'm just going to the Browns game. If we do something like that and decide we no longer are going to maintain our primary mandate to care for the poor, the needy, the helpless, the homeless among us, we would see hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, hundreds and hundreds of people languishing all around this city and all around this country. So the faith-based community is fueling this effort.
Conversely then, what happens if we do step up? What happens when we really pool our resources and focus in on this issue?
So this is the flip side of this. I'm grateful for what we're doing, but we have not even come close to doing what we should be doing or doing what we can be doing. Because the fact is this, if the faith community in Cleveland would actually stand up together, united, and strategically embrace this problem, we could effectively end the problem today. I don't mean end poverty. We're always going to deal with poverty. What I do mean is end this homeless crisis that we're seeing in our city right now. What we have and what we've always had are scores of little faith communities doing something completely independently without asking, without looking, without caring what anybody else is doing around them. And so instead of a strategic, coordinated, effective effort, we have a fragmented effort. Now, that's better than nothing, obviously. But if we would actually get our act together and work together, coordinate, strategize together, pool our resources together, this problem that we're facing, this crisis that we're facing, and I'll just take one little slice, homeless women and children, would be ended tomorrow. Not only that, but the testimony that would flow out of Cleveland to the rest of the country, I think, would be world-shaking.
Hey, now that sounds like the body of Christ I want to be a part of.
Yeah, me too.
If people do want to get involved, how can they help? What are some specific ways that they can connect with us or other organizations across the city that are reaching out to these people every day?
No, that's a great question. And there are a number of very simple things that they can do. Number one, they can volunteer. They can volunteer. And like I mentioned, there are numerous faith efforts in the city. The City Mission is one. Westside Catholic is another. Lutheran Metropolitan Ministries is another. Salvation Army is another. And there are more. Metanoia is another. So any one of those, and there are others, volunteer. You can do that. Secondly, you can give. You know, all of these ministries need resources. The more resources that they have, the more that they can do. Thirdly, join the Homeless Women and Children Task Force. It's hosted by the City Mission. It's not a City Mission ministry. It's a faith community working together. Contact thecitymission.org on our webpage. Send an email to somebody, and they'll connect you to me, and I'll connect you to the task force. That's a third thing. Talk to your pastors. Engage your church. Help your pastor understand why this is so critically important. Follow us on social media. I'm on Twitter, Rich Trickle. The City Mission is on Twitter, the City Mission Facebook page. We are talking about this on a daily basis and communicating what's going on. So those are four or five just very simple things that anyone can do to get started.
Easy enough. www.thecitymission.org. For those who might be tuning in at the end of this program, how can you summarize what we've talked about today and what we're asking from the community?
You know, I am thankful for the way the city responds, and I just want them to understand that right now this is a desperate circumstance. Homeless women and children in our city are facing a desperate circumstance, and we need all the help that we can get.
All right, again, that was Rich Trickle, CEO of the City Mission. Thank you all for tuning in, and thank you, Rich, for your time. We hope you've learned a lot today and that you'll head to www.thecitymission.org to learn about how you can get involved in turning around the women and children's homelessness crisis, or visit any of the other faith-based organizations' websites that we have here in Cleveland. There's so many ways to help, and we thank you for what you're already doing to help better your community. This has been Faith in Crisis, serving your neighbors in need, presented by The City Mission on 1220 AM The Word. Have a great day.